God bless you. It's a privilege to again be here with you. I sometimes think the brothers here get a little carried away in how often they have some of us share here. But I shared with a few of you that I really like it when your brothers come preach for us. And so what can I say? We say praise God. We're thankful for groups like this of brothers and sisters that gather in this kind of fellowship, this kind of unity. We grieve for those who don't feel it, who don't understand it, who don't know it, and maybe even some here among you who are not experienced the fullness of it. We grieve for that. But we're very, very thankful. We're blessed to be able to be in, shall I say, sister fellowship with you as a brotherhood. I want to just ramble a little bit before we get into the message. I thought I would let you look at that title today. I don't always do that, but I think it might be good because I might get off. You might lose the point, so you can just keep looking at that title and maybe you can follow along that way. But I want to ramble a little bit. I know this week there's been a lot of hard things said. And because of that, I know that there's those who wonder. I've been there. Struggle a little bit maybe with their consciences, and there's some tenderness there and some fears and so forth. Then I had to think about that. I thought about this fear of what if this and what if that, and does God really, and can He and will He? And then this tornado hits Saturday morning. And I, like most of the rest of you, probably was up looking around at 6 o'clock Saturday morning. And I don't know Kentucky, so I didn't even know which way the tornadoes come from down here. So I didn't know where to look except to the Lord. But I want to just read a passage and maybe share a few other things. I'm not just sure what order. I'm just going to ramble here a little bit. Psalm 91. For those of you who may be struggling with fear, I don't mean the respect of God type of fear. I mean the fright, the trembling, the shaking of your foundations, the concern that if Christ would come, am I where I should be? I would just ask you, who is the author of the 91st Psalm? You might say, well, David is, but I want to go deeper than that. Is this the Word of God? Do we believe that God's Word is true? Can we trust God? So I want to read a few of these verses, and maybe a couple more I shared with some people through the week too, but these are among some of the most precious promises, among some of the most precious promises in the Word of God. He that dwelleth, Psalm 91, in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, Brother Andrew, and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. And you might look at that and say, well, those are precious promises, but how do I know that I'm dwelling in the secret place of the Most High? How do I know that His feathers are over me? And how do I know that I'm in the shadow, His shadow, the shadow of the Almighty? Well, let me read you a couple more verses. And again, these are God's words. This is the Word of God. These are God's words. And these are some of the most comforting words that I think you'll find in the entire Scripture. Psalm 103. I shared these verses with several different ones this week. I'll share them with all of you this morning. And you probably already know where we're going here. Verses 13 and 14. Psalm 103, 13 and 14. Underline, highlight, write them on your hand, put them in your pocket. Whatever you have to do, claim them, these words. These words are for you, whoever you are. This is God, the Almighty, the Creator, the All-Powerful One, the Lover, the Judge, the Merciful, the Just, the Everlasting Father. This is who's writing this to you this morning. like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. What does that do to you this morning? This God, who I would be tempted to tremble and quake in fear because I might not have achieved to some level of perfection to satisfy His justice, is like this. A father that pities his children. A father that remembers, you know, they are made out of dirt. You know they're made of the things of the earth. You know their influence has been earthly things. You know their experiences have been out of their control. That whatever you may be facing in your life, these people didn't choose these experiences. God knows all that. God can, just like a loving, pitiful father, He will customize His response to meet you who you are and where you are. God does not want to destroy you. That's not His purpose. His purpose is to provide a place under a shadow, under some soft feathers, a place where you can abide, a place where you can trust, a place where you can love, a place you can be understood and known. And He understands and He knows. May the Lord give you rest in those promises this morning. Okay. Psalm 133. Not a lot of comments with this. I just thought of it early this morning. I thought, well, this would just be a good devotional opening, and maybe the other psalms have already been that. But to kind of direct our thoughts towards this title of authentic harmony. Thank you, Brother Noah, for that song, by the way. Noah knew the title, but maybe I won't have time to refer back to these verses, but as we think about authentic harmony, maybe just keep your book open and come back and glance at these verses a few times throughout the service and think about the harmony that is illustrated in this song. We'll see how that goes, if we come back to that or not, but that's a good song for a brotherhood who wants to truly be making a beautiful harmony for the Lord. Psalm 133, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." One clarification here. The Lord did not command the blessing in this passage, in what He's stating here. He's not saying that the blessing is commanded on Hermon or Mount Zion. That's figurative. Where He's commanding the blessing is on the good and pleasant thing when brethren dwell together in unity. We don't understand Mount Hermon in this analogy, probably totally, most of us, and even the word Zion, that can mean different things, but we understand what it means, we understand when we're together and when we're apart. I don't mean physically. I mean spiritually, I mean emotionally, I mean mentally. We understand what that means. And the Lord commands the blessing when we're together. That's all He's saying here. So hang on to those thoughts as well. Okay. Heard a lot about salvation this week. Amen? Heard a lot of calls to come to salvation. We've heard a lot of testimonies of people coming and getting born again and made new creatures in Christ. And receiving salvation. Praise the Lord. We're thankful for that. We are. When Jesus becomes supreme King of my life, though, I'm going to qualify this now, we're rejoicing with every one of you who is now born again in this room, whoever you are, new or old, young or old, there's something that will be a part of that. Salvation, right? Of course. We're born again. We're saved. Saved from what? Well, we're saved from sin, right? If you have a proper understanding, we know that we're saved from sin, the guilt and the power of sin. There is a common misunderstanding out there that we're saved from hell. Well, praise God if we don't have to go to hell, but it's going to lead you astray in the Scriptures if you think all it means is salvation from hell. It's salvation from sin. Remember, sin equals death. And when we're saved, we're no longer dead. We're made alive in Jesus Christ. I think we understand that. There's an element that I'm just going to expose I'm going to prophesy just a little bit, I guess. There's an element, I think, in modern Christianity, and maybe it's a large element, and maybe it's among us, maybe it's not, that misses a part of what salvation is. And in missing a part, I wonder if we don't miss all of what salvation is. Let me ask you this. In the Garden of Eden, when all of that transpired, to keep the story short, and Adam and Eve transgressed, what was lost? Thank you, brother. First of all, the Bible says you're going to die. And so they died. They lost their life. There's something else that commonly people do not remember. Christians do not remember. We might kind of remember it, but how does it apply? And that's what I want to talk about today. They lost their fellowship. Suddenly, fellowship with God was broken. But you know, that's not all that was broken. That's not all that was lost. Right there on the spot, they also lost fellowship with each other. It's not very far after that third chapter of Genesis. In fact, is it at the very end of that same chapter? Right in there, we see a brother, a blood brother, who grew up in the same household, same daddy and mother, who loved each other and who were enjoying each other's presence like children do. He rose up and he killed him. Fellowship was lost. Now, so if that's what was lost, when Jesus came to fulfill all righteousness, to be the fulfillment of the law, to be the completion and the entire fulfillment of the will of God, the Word of God, the Logos of God, all of that, what did He come to do? Well, to save us, of course. What's that mean? I'm here, brothers and sisters, I'm here to teach you, to teach me, to teach us all together that one of the things that God had in mind, and I almost wonder if this isn't the most important thing, was to restore fellowship. With God, yes. That's important. But with humanity around us also. With other brothers and sisters who have come to the light. With other people who have also accepted this plan, this way, this gospel, this good news. Unfortunately, too many people reach out and claim the Lord Jesus and still cannot get along with anybody else in their life. I love the Lord Jesus, but I can do it by myself. I hear this in the sales lot. Oh, I'm a Christian too. Well, I never said I was a Christian, but they walk, I'm a Christian too, but you know, I don't need to do church. I've heard it multiple times on my sales lot. Really. I'm going to be this frank. If you cannot find restoration of fellowship with believers, when you're finding fellowship with God, I question your salvation. There is a testimony that God is counting on from His people. Through the cross. And we'll get to the cross towards the end of the message. But there's a testimony that God is counting on. He is counting on a testimony of power. And if we don't have that power on display in our life, we have nothing to share. I'm here to tell you, I've watched people try to fill their life with the right words. All the right words come a-bubbling out. And I've watched people say, I feel so good. I just feel this and I feel that and I feel the other. But then their life falls apart. Jesus, as He reigns supreme, has restored fellowship. Fellowship restored. I could go on with that. That is just, I have discovered that that has been a reawakening burden in my life, and it gets laced through almost every message anymore. Because I cannot guarantee you salvation unless you can live your life in fellowship with others. So it's good to hear salvation testimonies. Praise God. That's where it starts. We understand the grace of God. We accept it, receive it. We're cleansed. We're forgiven. Now we testify of it with our lives. If that's not happening, we need to go back to the beginning and try again. Start over. Learn to know the Lord. God doesn't have favorites. He doesn't have a favorite child. And I would that we don't either. God doesn't have favorite children. So I decide that Lord is mine and I'm His, and I must, you know, and I don't need to. No, that's not God. He doesn't love you more than he loves me, and vice versa. So what would he want us to do with each other but to love and to fellowship with each other? I've got to move along here. I just want us to understand that when we talk about fellowship, and when we talk about authentic harmony, and when we talk about unity in the church and one-mindedness and all of these things, it's not some creation or some development of man's mind that if we could just get this done, we could corral people and manage this thing a little better. It would look more organized and it would just be easier to take. That's not what it is. It is of God. It is His perfect will that His children would live in fellowship and harmony with each other. Here's another tip for you young people who were here this week. This is a bit of my own testimony here. I hear the fears, can I maintain? What's going to happen next Wednesday or 2 weeks from now? And you know the talk. Every time we have a week-long meeting, this towards the end of the meeting, these things come out. And we know in our own heart, young men, don't we? We quake because we know how it was last year. And we know how it was at the last men's meeting. And we know how it was at the last Bible school. And what, you know, I think it is better this year. Maybe I didn't drop quite as far. But, oh, I know. 2 weeks from now, am I still going to feel on fire? There was a time in my life when I went up and down and up and down and up and down, like I hear coming out of these young people. It's not that abnormal. Early in our marriage, I don't know, these numbers aren't exactly right, but I'm going to tell you about how it was. And it wasn't very good. It was up and down, but it was, I began to note, and I don't know if my wife maybe helped me with this, but it was 2 weeks down and a week up. I would be excited and on fire and enthused and inspired and optimistic for a week, and then 2 weeks, I don't know. But something changed. I'm going to tell you what I think changed. And I don't mean this to be pointed or belittling or to reawaken the fears that I tried to put asleep with Psalm 103. I don't mean this at all. I mean it to be inspiring, actually. I think there'll be some brothers here that can testify this as well. When I finally took my eyes off of myself and I put my eyes on God and accepted Him as my Father, as that kind of a Father, and I got a hold of the vision that I think God has, and it's not hard. Be prepared. Listen. When I learned to love the church like God loves the church and made that my mission and made that my vision and made that my purpose, things began to level out. Now that emotion that I felt or did not feel didn't bother me as bad. Now if I didn't feel that buzz or that tears welling up over a precious message, it didn't bother me as bad. I was on purpose for God. God loves His church. I'm not going to turn to all those passages today. This is mostly from my heart. You know where they are, and we'll go to some of them. But God loves His church. That's His purpose. Is His purpose to save you? Yes. But you know what? His purpose is to save a people. There's not a one of us, we'll see here shortly, there's not a one of us who can portray the perfect, excellent, good will of God by ourselves. Lord knows that. Not a one of us can step into the shoes of Jesus all by ourselves. So He's got a collective group of people. And you know what? The blessing goes both ways. Not only are we doing God's work, whatever all that is for each one of us and the parts of the body, but we get such a blessing. Well, it's not just this bitter work of, well, I guess we'll do it God's way and this is what He wants. When I heard it several times, when we give of ourselves and we rest and we lay down and our will goes away, like we heard all week this week, the blessing just comes rushing back to us. And at the same time, the testimony of Jesus is going out to the love that you have one for another. You turn to 1 John. I don't know if we're even going to go there today, but you read 1 John through and through and through and through and through and through and see if you can find anything in there that says you should have aught with your brother or that you should be able to, there's some way out that you don't have to get along with your brother. Or find some way to say, you know, there's another option here. If you find it, let me know. If a man love God, say he loved God, he's going to love his brother. If you don't love God whom you have not seen, how can you love your brother who you have? I said that backwards, but anyway, sorry. I think, children, young people, a motivation that will last is to get a vision for the church. And you know what? The blessings of salvation for your own self come right along with it. And the richness doesn't go away. And you'll discover that it's such a contented, restful place to be, to not have to live for that next high or be so discouraged by the rough things of life. Because God's purpose is going on. He wants you to be a part of it. That helped me. That made a difference in my life. If it can help you get a vision for the church. Authentic harmony. I'm going to read a couple passages here. Again, probably not much comment. Romans, let's start in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Three or four verses there. Thank you for bearing with a couple of my little rabbit trail soapboxes there. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him. Those are basic but profound words. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. I think we understand what that means. Sometimes I wonder if we really understand with our lives what that means. Romans 15. And there's a little theme here, a slogan that I want to get out of Romans 15. I guess we'll just start here in verse 1, read a few verses. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. I think we'll just stop right there. But the slogan, you picked it out already, one mind and one mouth. I mean, wouldn't that be a precious, wouldn't that be a high, wouldn't that be a good goal, a good target to shoot for, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God. One mind, how is that going to happen? And that's what I want to explore just a little bit this morning. How is that going to happen? One mind and one mouth glorifying God. The title Authentic Harmony actually comes because of a more modern philosophy that's called Artificial Harmony. And I haven't studied Artificial Harmony very much. It came out in a discussion with a brother, but if you'll find it in modern philosophers' books, when they're trying to figure out how to get together in business, typically. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on artificial harmony. We cover a little bit of that. But that's where authentic harmony comes from. So it's just trying to respond to the artificial harmony. I thought artificial harmony was going to be the title at one point. I thought it would be better to say authentic harmony and focus on that. Maybe bring in our artificial just a little bit to give us some warnings. But these kind of messages are we come from a little church, 9 families, and about always have somebody that's looking, but it's 9 families now. And so you always have new faces and new families, and I think you do here as well. Praise the Lord. But every time that happens, there's opportunity, and there's blessing, and there's challenge. Blending our lives. At home, we have people who used to be Schwarzendruber Amish. We have people that used to be Old Order Amish. We have people that have come through maybe not the New Order, I'm not sure, different stages of Amish. We have people that used to be Old Brethren members and people that used to be Old German Baptist Brethren members and all these plain churches. We have a family there that would have had more of a Baptist background. It's all kinds of backgrounds. And we all pick up our Bibles and we all read Romans 15. And we all see that it says that you with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. How are we going to do that? We're different. Like Brother Sean here shared, he's coming from a Baptist perspective. I watched two brothers in conversation here just a couple of weeks ago, sitting at our fellowship meal. One comes from a Schwarzendruber Amish background. The other one comes from a Protestant background. And here they sat face to face, and other brothers gathered around. And the one brother, he's sharing his prophetic concern for drift and worldliness and how we need authority in our lives and how we need structure and what a blessing it is to be coming into a part of the God's church that sees this and loves it. The other brother's face I saw was getting a little pale, and he was withdrawing a little bit. And he began to advance some fearful thoughts. When I hear you say these things, I'm just sure we're headed back to Schwarzendruber. Both brothers have good hearts. Both love the Lord. Both are born again, new creatures in Christ. What are we going to do? How are we going to do this? It can be done. One mind and one mouth. Authentic harmony. Harmony. Today we're going to try to use music a little bit as kind of an object lesson for what harmony and how it works and how we have to give of ourselves to one another to make a beautiful harmony. I think most of us know harmony in its basic illustration or basic definition is two or more different sounds when blended together are more pleasing than one by itself. So I can make a sound by myself, but when you start adding others that complement that sound, it's more pleasing than it is by itself. That's what harmony is. If we look at a songbook, we could actually look at this one here. Lo, what a pleasing sight. How many here sing bass? You mean you don't? There's a lot of hands that aren't. You mean you don't all sing bass? What about altos? Are there altos here? A few? Wouldn't it be better if there were more altos here? Or maybe everybody should sing alto. You get my point. We look at this song, we see bass and soprano and alto and tenor, we call them that. And we know if we were here Friday night, for example, and we sat back there and we listened to the sound, the harmony that was coming out of this stage up here, you know what I'm talking about. And we could have picked any one of those people out and sang. It might have been beautiful. You get one with the proper skills and sang, and it would have been beautiful. But it would never, ever come close to touching or comparing the beautiful harmony that was coming off of here, blending not only four different parts, but 80 different voices who have different tones as well. Every one of them is different. Every one of these young people came from a different home. Not, allow me to just say that. Different home, different parents, different part of the country, different background, different influence, different perspective, different possibilities, different gifts and callings. And yet they stood up here, one director, one pitch pipe, 80 voices, 80 perspectives, and the harmony that came out of there was leaving the congregation little ripples of amen and little ripples of blessing was coming out of that. Now, how could that be? And I asked this question, would it be possible that same kind of harmony with 100 different backgrounds and 100 different perspectives and 100 different places where you started could come out before God as displayed before this community in that kind of harmony? I think it's possible. Not only do I think it's possible, I think it's the will of God. I think it's a goal that we ought to attain to. That's probably enough about harmony. There's more here, but think about harmony in nature. There's lots of places you can go with that beyond music. We'll get back to music here in a bit. But harmony in nature, just a real simple one, is you take the earth and vegetation grows out of that earth. God created this, beautiful harmony. There comes along a plant eater like a rabbit and eats the plant, the vegetation there. The rabbit looks around and here comes a coyote or a meat-eating animal and eats the rabbit. Following the consumption of the rabbit, there's a decomposition process. And the rabbit goes back to the earth again. And out of the earth comes vegetation. Another rabbit comes and eats. See what how God has designed. That's just one simple little illustration. We could go on and on with that, but God has created His whole entire creation to be in harmony like that. Do you know what a symbiotic relationship is? You probably do. One of those is the ox tick, the tick picker. I don't remember the names of them, but there's a bird that sits on the back of a water buffalo, and the water buffalo loves it because the bird is picking those itchy things off of its back. And the bird loves it because he's getting food to eat. He's getting a meal out of the deal. So these guys are friends. They're not naturally friends. There's actually a bird that an alligator, I believe it is, will let go in its mouth and pick its teeth. And the alligator won't eat the bird. And they're both benefiting. That's God's creation. That's the harmony that God loves. Everything about the natural way God created the earth is in harmony. What about us? The people who have a choice. I have an object lesson, and I want to do a little qualification here. I am not necessarily in favor of a lot of theatrics in sermons, and I don't consider this that. This is a stretch. I want you to know this is a stretch even for me, what we're going to do next. But I'm so desperate to make my point. I have such a deep desire that people would understand God's burden for harmony, that each one of you and me would take this so personal, because I'm the only one that can change me with God's help, that I'm willing to do this. I've asked some young men to come and help me out with some harmony and to show us what it looks like and some of what it takes to have harmony, just in music. But I want us to not think about the musical example as much. It's really not about music. Please understand, it's really not about music. I picked talented ones. God gives us different gifts. I picked that because I wanted it to work right, not because I appreciate these young men any more than anybody else. So please, just accept this humbly as an illustration. And if you focus on the point, I think you'll be blessed. So if you young fellows would come forward, I would like to have your help here for a little bit. We're just going to do some exercises that I hope will help you illustrate. And I understand that you're going to kind of be the leader here. That's good. You don't have to turn me back on necessarily unless they can be on at the same time. I told them we'll start out with real harmony so that we know that where we're headed here. So we're going to sing one verse. We're going to sing one verse in full harmony. This is our goal, okay? Go ahead. I think we can unashamedly say that's beautiful. And I think God would have us do that with our lives. So now we're going to do a couple things, and bear with them. These brothers haven't had much time to prepare for this one. Next, they're going to each choose their own pitch. Like we try to do sometimes. We're going to choose our own tone. And you don't have to go very far, maybe a line or two, however it works. Well, they're going to each pick their own tone, and let's see what that sounds like. That doesn't work very well. It's true. This is just singing. I want to impress on us that God didn't do music accidentally. He didn't make music harmonize accidentally. It goes, and so that's why it's such a good object lesson, is because it's all of nature is that way. And there's one part that seems to want to resist that. Even the part that's been given a choice and the power to do that. That's what God wants, is this kind of harmony. Or not that kind of harmony, but the first part, sorry. Yes, and so that was very discordant. All right, next. Okay, this time. Hold on, I have a question for you guys. Do I have a volunteer? I should have done this first, I'm sorry. So right after the perfect harmony, I was going to ask for this volunteer. Would one of you like to volunteer to sing that beautiful harmony? All four parts, all by yourself, at the same time. No, really. How come we try to do that? It doesn't work in music. It doesn't work in nature. How come we try to do that? These brothers, I don't know where they're at with this message even, to be honest with you. I think I do, and I'm blessed by their lives, but they're learning something here today too, I trust. Not a one of them can do it by themselves. Not a one of us can do this by ourselves. We can't do it alone. Okay, so we tried singing the same song with your own pitch. Let's sing again. Same pitch. You blow the pitch and you blow the pitch and you sing your song.
Pitch. Now you start your song.
Listen, don't you brothers know how to walk together? It sounds to me like you think your song's more important than the other one. I have an idea. No, what if you would sing a little louder? Maybe they would they'd understand and join you then.
Sure.
Would that work? Let's try it. Hold on. Why do we try to do that? Same pitch. He blew the pitch pipe, all the same pitch. But everybody's singing their own song. There's a song that says, "You are the words and the music." He's talking about Jesus, not ourselves. Tell you what if we did sing the same song and all sang the same part? Maybe that would work. I don't know which one of you thinks your most part's the most important. His? Mm-hmm. Well, let's do his part. Okay, now we're going to unite. We're going to do it all just like Marshall.
In vain, O Lord, thou speakest, no fish are in the yet once more at thy bidding.
Wait. That's kind of plain. That's a little dull. That makes me think of that Peter Spears book where he illustrates how we're all different and goes through the whole book with beautiful differences, but the last page has everybody exactly the same and all the buildings are exactly the same and it's gray and dull. That doesn't sound like harmony to me. That doesn't seem like the way God created it. But hey, we tried. We're all going to do it one person's way. So anyway, that's really the end of the object lesson. I told these brothers I would let them redeem themselves by singing the whole song in full harmony to kind of bring us back to the spirit of harmony rather than clashing and dissonance. So go ahead and sing the song, brothers.
All night the men had labored with nets out on but empty ships were anchored at morn on Galilee. Discouraged, tired, and weary, no fruit dismay. His grace will surely keep if you trust Him and obey. In vain, O Lord, Thou speakest, no fish are in the sea, yet once more at Thy bidding we'll cast the net for Thee. What mighty power is working, the nets are filled and break. How glad that they obeyed Him just for His own word's sake. Launch out into the deep. No foe can e'er dismay. His grace will surely keep if you trust Him and obey. Let down your faith, my brother, into the mighty deep of God's eternal promise. His word He'll surely keep. Ask Him for every blessing, no good will He withhold. He'll give you more abundance than your frail bark can hold. Launch out into the deep. No foe can e'er dismay. His grace will surely keep if you trust Him and
what do you think? Does that help us understand a little bit what happens when I want to choose my own pitch? Or when I want to choose my own song? Or when I think that I know that I have a little bit of an aside view, but if I sing it loud enough, maybe others will just kind of get a hold of it. I won't have to talk about it, but they'll understand. They'll do it. I'll overreact. I'll go way farther this way and sing really loud. Maybe it'll pull some people a little closer. Choose our own song. Choose our own pitch. Or maybe I'll just do it the same way. All right, we'll just do it all Brother Malin's way here, since you're in my eyesight there, brother. We'll just do it his way. I think we all understand that wouldn't work out very well. It wouldn't be harmony. Why do we do it? Well, I think we understand why that's not what we're here to deal with. We're here to deal with a vision to come to that kind of harmony. These men aren't perfect, but that was beautiful. What a vision. What a goal. What if God in heaven is looking down and He says, that is beautiful harmony coming out of this Blessed Hope Christian Fellowship Church and all of our churches. I think it's possible. I think it's the heart of God. I think that's what He wants. And that's what we're going to press towards today. Thank you, brothers, for that, for making yourselves vulnerable there. Speaking of vulnerable, reminds me of a couple things. What was happening there? What was happening to make the harmony beautiful? I'm just going to read a few things. I know your thoughts were going to different places and how it might apply and places you could go and praise the God. I want you to do that. But I want to know some things. All were subject to one pitch. One pitch. They were subject to one leader. Jesus Christ. He has His authorities under that, but that's not my focus today. One leader. One pitch. They were recognizing the need for each other. There wasn't any one of them up here standing. They didn't agree with me when they wanted to try it, or I wanted them to try it by themselves. They needed each other, and they knew that. They understood that. Not a one of them would have come up here and tried to do all of that by himself. There was not one above another. So we took one part and sang it by itself for a little bit. Because their voices are beautiful, it was beautiful in its way. But elevating that one above another didn't work for harmony. It didn't work. There was not one above another. They were all trusting one another, vulnerable. You know when Brother Don here is leading, and you know how a song leader does, and he goes like this to start, or however each one does it their own way. If they didn't trust each other, they would all say, well, I'm not sure if I... And the start would be kind of stuttery and whatever. But they were vulnerable, trusting one another. I'm going to do my part. I'm from the Baptist Church, Brother Sean, and I have these concerns. But tuned into Christ, I can offer those. But I'm going to do my part. But I'm trusting that He's going to do His part too. And I'm not ashamed to do my part. But neither do I want to overpower Him with my part. And that happens among all of us. I have to offer what God has through me to offer. But I'm not going to overpower somebody with it. That's what they were doing here. Vulnerable. They were trusting each other to each do their part. All right. We're going to move on here rather rapidly. Harmony. Remember this definition of harmony. Different, yet blending to be more beautiful than one by itself. Different than each other, yet blending to be more beautiful than one by itself. A few points just about harmony itself. First, harmony is the will of God and it glorifies Him. We look at His design. We've already covered some of that in nature. We could go through more of that. I'm not going to take the time to do that. Look at God's design. Everything He has designed absolutely brings glory to Himself, except for some of us who choose not to do that, those He's given a choice, fallen humanity. Everything He does brings Him glory. You look at the heart of God, we could turn to St. John 17 and look at Jesus' prayer there in His heart, that one thing would happen. He covers the unity of His people. He covers the teaching of His people. He covers the salvation of His people. He covers all of that. But at the bottom line, foundationally, interwoven through that whole thing, is that God would be glorified. Do you think He said that they would be one, that Thou, Father, and I might be one just because it's more pleasant for them? It is. But that's not why He did it. That God may be glorified. That He could receive the glory for everything He is doing and has done for you and me and for all of creation. Harmony is the will of God and it glorifies Him. Harmony is essential to a testimony of Jesus Christ. If you were to turn to St. John chapter 3, verse 35, those very, very familiar verses that say, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Why? Because you each choose your own song, right? You all sing beautifully by yourselves. That's not what He says. You have love one for another. Warm, fuzzy feelings. I can say it with my mouth. No. It comes out of your lives. It's for real. It shows up in everyday living. Choices, responses, decisions are all affected. It's essential to the testimony of Christ. It's like songs. Which part of this little object lesson up here made you want to draw closer? Made you wanted to say more, more. Maybe they could just keep singing. Isn't there a couple more songs they could sing? It's a foolish question, but you know what I'm talking about. Some of those songs was like, shut that off. Well, that's what we're concerned about. By this shall all men know. By this shall people be drawn. I want to be a part of that. I want some more of that. Give me what you have. It's beautiful harmony. Harmony is essential to a testimony of Christ. Harmony is intentional. It doesn't happen accidentally. We kind of proved that up here a little bit ago when we said, well, let's all sing, just choose your own pitch. Well, it didn't come out very good because, you know, Fletcher has a fairly tenor voice, and so he's going to naturally choose a higher pitch. And Marshall here has a bass voice, so they might come close because they know the song should start about here, but he's going to default to a lower pitch. God made it that way. But intentionally, we say, you know what? I'm going to move, and now we're together. Amen. It's intentional. It comes through communication and common desire to achieve it. First of all, if you don't know you're missing something, you're probably not going to go looking for it. But we need to understand and believe that this is God's church, and it's His heart. It's close to Him. It's His desire. His all is wrapped up in this thing, and we need to want it too. And so it's intentionally. It's a choice. I am going to do my part. There are four brothers up here. Three of them could have said, we're going to do our part. And one of them could have said, I still feel a little rebellious here. I'm going to go ahead and sing a different song or a different pitch. And we ruined the whole thing. It's intentional. We all know that if one of you and I decided, well, let's blow the same pitch and let's see what the chance, take a pitch pipe, and what's the chances we blow the same one accidentally? It's pretty rare, pretty small chance. Brother Noah here would grab a pitch pipe and I'd grab one. You blow your pitch, I'll blow mine. They might come out to be the same, you know? Maybe this is what God wants. So we blow it and I'm on an F and he's on an A flat. That wouldn't sound too good together, I don't think. I'm not sure. But anyway, there's more about music that I don't know, and I'm blessed to know people who do. In harmony, it isn't found by focusing on one note or one detail, but on the song. It's not focused on one, but on the song. Harmony isn't sameness. This is a hard one, except it's not really. Harmony is not sameness. Now what? What about unity? What about oneness? What about be of all of one mind? Speak the same thing. What about that? It's not sameness. We could turn to Romans chapter 12 and we would discover that God has different parts of the body. Not different callings, different gifts and callings than Romans 12 it is. We could go to Ephesians chapter 4. This is probably my favorite one. Ephesians 4:16. He says, there's a body and there's body parts and there's joints and there's different parts, but everyone is supplying something. Every joint supplieth, he says. It's all compacted together with every joint supplying something. If you ever feel like you're useless and wasted and unneeded, you need to go read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, and read it till you believe it. Every single one has some way to edify in this harmony that we're talking about. But it's not sameness, because if all were the eye, where were the hearing? If all were the smelling, where were the, how that goes there in 1 Corinthians 12. It's not the same. I'm going to leave that one for now. Maybe we'll touch that again. Harmony is not just sound. It's not just doing something and making noise. Back in the book of Judges, I think there's a verse that said, every man did what was right in his own eyes. They had no king. They really didn't want God's leading. They had judges, and in those days, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. There's a word for that, and I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it right, but it's cacophony. Cacophony, or maybe some of you say cacophony, I don't know, but anyway. Cacophony is chaos, basically. It's a harsh, discordant mixture of sound. And that's what was happening in Judges when every man did what was right in his own eyes. It was a harsh, discordant mixture of sound, and God wasn't well pleased with that. So that's harmony isn't just sound. Just a bit about artificial harmony. There is no such thing, by the way. Not in reality, but in men's efforts to figure out what relationship problems are and how to solve these outside of Christ, that term has been coined. So I have a couple things that I think could pertain to us, could apply. I'll just give them quickly for whatever they're worth. One form of artificial harmony is low-contact relationships. It's possible to live in a church, in a brotherhood, in a setting where everybody smiles and everybody shows up for church on Sunday and everybody attends the right events and we mind our own business. And we really don't know what other people are thinking, but because I'm busy with my life and you're busy with your life and nobody's upset near as I can tell, we get along okay. I think we probably know, not to be critical here, I think we probably know churches like that. Maybe have been part of those. Another one is one-note focus. Artificial harmony. One-note focus. We tried that up here. I think I would use this illustration. I want to use it carefully because I don't want to be disparaging or disrespectful. But it would be possible. Many churches will choose one doctrine. And that one doctrine is what motivates them. That one doctrine is why they're not with this one and why they're not with that one. Many people will choose one doctrine and they'll never settle down in one place because here it got compromised, and there it was disagreed with. And I'm okay until that doctrine's touched, and then I'm out of here. Take uniformity, for example. I think we would all say we know of churches where the most important thing is you wear the right clothes. clothes are good. The right clothes are good. So that's why I want to be careful with this statement. I just use that because most of us can connect with that. If that is our one note focus, that's artificial harmony. We don't know. What God wants is harmony of heart, not just harmony of clothes. I think all of that can come together in a beautiful picture of harmony, but one note focus. I think I've made my point there. Conflict avoidance, another artificial harmony. We don't have any conflict. What do you mean? What do you mean? And so we know there's something we should address, but you know what? I don't have the energy, or I don't have the love, or I don't have what I need, and we just avoid it. And it's possible to be in these settings, and none of us want conflict, and so we just avoid differences, and we don't address them and communicate and come to harmony on them. Conflict avoidance. Watch out for that one. We don't want to be conflict inflamers either, but avoiding conflict completely will eventually lead to a very stale, stagnant, false artificial harmony. Another one is if we're singing the wrong song. When God's will is not the motive, when the motivator lacks Christ's supremacy, when Jesus is not the head of His church, when He is not the king on the throne, when He is not what's motivating the members, we're probably not going to be able to come to harmony. It's the wrong song. There's a lot of people trying to unite. You think about gangs, you think about clubs, you think about those kind of people, and there's some unity there for a time, but it's the wrong song, and it doesn't bring harmony. You know one thing about the harmony of Jesus Christ? It brings harmony to the lives of the community too. Righteousness exalteth the nation. Did you know that your community is blessed because this church is here? It may not want to be part of you. It may not want to endorse all the doctrine and all the practice that's here, but it's blessed because you're here. That, not so with a gang. They might ride all the same kind of motorcycles and have the same whatever on the back of their leather jacket, but it's not harmony at all. It's the wrong song. Christians can do that too, but I'm not gonna hammer on that one anymore. A few other random thoughts here. Take a look at the 12 disciples. Have you ever thought about how different they all were? I'm sure you have. You think about the nature of Peter, and you think about the nature of John, and you think about the occupation of Matthew, and we could go on there. But you think about all those different ones, and Jesus loved them all. And He used them all. And He blessed them all. And there was beautiful harmony come out of there. How could it be? Did Jesus have a special reason for that diversity? And again, just look at us. Different backgrounds, different home lives, different experiences, different convictions, different abilities, weaknesses, strengths. What about it? Can it harmonize? Amen, it can. Brother Jim likes to sing in the key of C, Bob in the key of G. What are we going to do about that? Jane so enjoys the sound of the musical note fa in A flat. I'm throwing out terms that I don't hardly know what I'm doing with, but anyway. But that's all she wants to sing. Joe loves to sing solo. Sue thinks alto is so nice that everyone should sing it. We kind of covered that with our object lesson. Is it conceivable that a group of people would all share the same strength of conviction on every topic of life? Not at all. It's not even possible. The same strength of conviction on every topic of life. It's not going to happen. Should we get all discouraged and frustrated and be in despair because of that? Or should we say, wow, I think God can bring all this together, just like colors come together sometimes to make a beautiful picture, or just like tones come together to make beautiful song harmony. God can put all this together. It needs something, but we'll get there. We need to be intentional. We should take an appreciative look at the possibility, the blessed possibility of blending in brotherhood for a harmonious purpose that testifies of Christ. When Jesus looked at His followers and prayed for unity and oneness, he was seeing one song, not one note. He would look across this congregation and He would say, I see a song. I see a potential harmony. He wasn't looking for one note. He was looking for a song. When our heart, we can do the same. When our heart is truly given to the cause of Jesus, our desire will be more for the song than of my note. It doesn't matter how beautiful my note is. When my heart is, Jesus is supreme on my throne, on our throne. My heart is for His song, not for my note. Have you ever gotten tired of your own note before? I have. Brother Dine sang a little tiny piece of solo up here this morning, did a beautiful job, but I don't like that. I love what you did, but I don't like doing it. I get tired of my own note. I want other people around me. Just like singing solo to the humble man is very, very challenging. hearing my own note too much should be very, very challenging. I had a visit with a brother a few months ago, and he was just sharing his testimony, and I hope this can be the testimony of everyone. It was a brother who hasn't always been here, and that's what blessed me so much about being, he said, it's such a blessing to be so part of the brotherhood that that my own opinion is of diminished importance. He said, right now, he said, it is such that I'm not sure where my will starts and stops versus where the brotherhood starts and stops. It's like it's all one. I was like, praise God. Could that be our testimony? That's harmony there. That is a blended brother. That's a harmonious brother. And that is a brother that is a joy to be in fellowship with. So if Jim is on C and Bob is on G, how do we harmonize? And they might harmonize anyway, I don't know. But someone has to move a bit, seems like, don't we? And who can I move? I could probably try to get a hold of your throat and twist it just right and it would change your tone a little bit. But that's not what Christ has in mind. I can change my own tone and that's all. I have a choice what sound I'm going to make and what song I'm going to sing. Here's a few little anecdotes here. I'll try not to take too long now. This has just been a blessing. I appreciate your response as I feel blessed to be here. Just a few things to help us in finding harmony. First one, keep an eye and ear on the harmony before my own voice. Some of this will be a little bit redundant. Christ is the words and the music. He has a will, the law of love. He has a way, it's the cross, the way of the cross. The brotherhood likely has an expression of the will and the way. Blend with it. Blend with it. We're not all going to be the same no matter how hard we try. So why not try? Maybe that's frightening to some of you. I don't know. But we're not going to be the same no matter how hard we try. So let's do our part to move closer to the expression the brotherhood has of the will and the way of Jesus. Communicate. Another way to help the harmony. Communicate. Conflict avoidance won't get us anywhere. Communicate. Kindly and upbuildingly. With encouragement and concern, a brother approached me this week. He said, how do I approach difficult situations where I feel like I'm always the one sounding the warning? Or words to that effect. And you know, the last thing I wanted to say was, well, I mean, if you're the one that's always sounding the warning, you better just stop. I mean, after all, don't you, you know. So I didn't say that. But what I said was, if you are living a life of appreciation for others, and encouraging others, and you're seeing the good, and your brothers and sisters know that of you, you have full right to express your warnings and your fears, your concerns, what you see coming. Communicate that way. Make your life full of encouragement, of blessing, of upbuilding, of seeing the good. I had a customer call me just the other day, and he said, and my heart fell, because I had sold this barn to this customer, and I knew he was a nice enough person, but the details mattered. The details really matter, and I always cringe. I think we'll probably hear back from this one. So he calls, and yeah, this is Brian. Hi, Brian. You know, my heart's quickened just a little bit, but I'm going to be positive. It's all going to be good. Doesn't matter what he wants. We're going to do it. But he said, I just wanted to call you. A barn came the other day, and it looks really good. He said, I know that the way we work is you probably hear all the bad and don't hear very much good. He said, I just wanted to be one of those that called you and said, we really like our barn. Thank you. Wow. I blessed him for that. So when he sent me an email a couple days later and said, why is this transom window not centered on this door? It didn't affect me near as bad because he had already said, thank you. We really appreciate what you've done. Do you get my point? Communicate that way. We need to be communicators, but fill our lives with blessing, a building, seeing the good. Then when we come to a meeting, one-on-one, brothers meeting, committee meeting, whatever it is, we can say, you know what, I have a couple concerns, but everybody knows the blessing's been flowing out of you, and so the ears perk up. What's your concerns? Be a communicator. That will help in the harmony. Appreciate others. This is a choice. Harmony is intentional. This is a choice that will change your heart and theirs. There's always something. I have used this in marriage encouragement before. Same thing. If you're struggling with appreciating your wife or husband, try exercising intentionally appreciating them with the words you share, with the terms you use when you talk to them on the phone, when you get up, start using intentionally appreciative terms, flattering terms. With marriage, it goes beyond just that. But intentionally exercise appreciation. It doesn't just happen automatically, but appreciate others. And the next one's just about like that. Esteem others. Esteeming others better than yourself. And in Jesus, when we find ourselves at the foot of the cross, understanding the love of Jesus, that shouldn't be a hard thing for us. We should be able to see we are of very small, outside of Christ, very small value. And everyone is so valuable in God's sight. When your heart loves like Jesus' loves, there's nobody here that I don't think is so, so valuable. Of valuing others, esteeming others better than ourselves. Compassion. That was Jesus too. When Jesus fills your heart, it's compassion. It helps with understanding and relating. How important is harmony to God? If you were to turn to Proverbs chapter 6 and look at verses 16 through 19, there are seven things that God hates. Can anybody tell me which one of those I might be talking about there? Thank you, brother. One of those things that God hates is one that soweth discord among brethren. It's interesting that God uses musical terms here. Discord is, if I'm not mistaken, is actually a musical term, or it can be used that way. Discord. Him that soweth disharmony, can I say, among brethren. If we were to turn to Romans chapter 6, verse 17, I think he says, I better just turn there. I'm not very far away. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Causing division is discord. It's disharmony. That's how God feels about it. It's bad enough that he says, you know, you need to pay attention to this. This is disrupting the song. There's somebody here off singing their own tone. It's not beautiful anymore. And I want my testimony to be a beautiful one. Brethren, you need to do something about this. I'm not here to give you practical advice specifically, but that's how God feels about it. He hates sowing discord among brethren. He wants the music to be beautiful, just like these brothers when they were singing that four-part harmony. That's how important it is to God. How much better it is than to sow discord to examine ourselves and allow Christ to give us a harmonious heart. I think I'm going to take the time just to read a few passages of Scripture and soon take my seat. Philippians chapter 2, these are words of encouragement straight from the Word of God on how we can be a part of having that harmonious heart. Familiar words here. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also, on the things of others. We could read on there about the mind of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3. Starting in verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing. Knowing that you are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days and produce beautiful harmonies, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. St. John 13:35 again is down here on my notes. Just simply says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have this kind of love one for another. How can this be possible? How can this be possible? Does everyone here know what a tuning fork is? Most of you? A tuning fork. So before, and some folks still use those, and that's good. But before the days of these little round gizmos that we blow on, or smartphones where you put the button on, or however that works. But before these little things, they use a tuning fork. And each tuning fork is tuned to the right pitch, the accurate pitch. Which, by the way, God designed that too, talking about harmony. Did you know that somebody didn't just decide key of C should sound about like this? If you ever want a really interesting study about the perfection and absolute accuracy of God and His design, study the wavelengths in music. Just do it sometime. But tuning fork. I'm going to draw a tuning fork here on the board. I'm not a very good artist, so just bear with me. That's my tuning fork. I was going to bring A.W. Tozer's quote on tuning forks, and I forgot to do it. I can't quote it exactly. But I think it says something like, did you know that 100 pianos tuned to the same tuning fork are automatically in harmony with one another, or something like that. The same tuning fork. So up here we had four different voices. Out here we might have 150 different voices. We might have 100 different perspectives. We might have 50 different backgrounds. We might have 150 different opinions. We have all of that. But we're talking about harmony today. And the only way we're going to come into harmony is if we get tuned to the same tuning fork. Getting tuned to the same tuning fork doesn't mean you changed your opinion. It doesn't mean your perspective has to change. It doesn't mean you have to throw away your past that affected who you are today. It doesn't mean that. But it means it changes you so that your perspective, your past, your opinion, it can be a part of the blending of the beautiful harmony that comes in Jesus Christ. The cross, the tuning fork. You can go up here, we can put nationality. I shouldn't even try this because it's going to get sloppy. We can put nationality there. We can put culture over here. Culture. We can put opinions. Now, opinions, maybe that doesn't quite fit. I don't know. We can talk about that later. But anyway, they do have to come to the same tuning fork too, though. We can put giftings down here. Everyone has a different gift. We can put preferences here, and we could go right on with all those. You could add more. We don't need to do that right now, but you get my point. We can put all those. They're all going to be here. We can't get away from them. Well, there's different nationalities. There's different opinions. There's different giftings. There's different cultures. They just exist. What are we going to do? Because we know now, we're convinced that God wants beautiful harmony. We know that He does it in nature. We know that He does it with singing. We know that He does it in mathematics. He does it in science. You name it, it's all harmonious. What are we going to do? There's a tuning fork. It's the cross. Too many people, you might be shocked about what I'm going to say next. I hope you're not. Too many people look at this as a magic wand instead of a tuning fork. And it's time to remember that it's not a magic wand. It's a tuning fork. If you don't believe me, and this is grace, go look at Titus chapter 2, the last few verses there. The grace of God does what? It magically casts us into the realm of heaven. No. Grace of God teaches us. And you go read the rest of it. I'm not going to take the time. It teaches us. The grace of God teaches us. Teaching us changes us. Tuning fork. Put your opinion against the tuning fork of the cross. You know why relationships can exist at all? What kind of resistance? I've talked with people and they say, you know, I just don't think this brother just, he's asking us to do this and I don't see it in the Scripture and it's going to be hard. I said, he's not asking you to lay on the cross and have nails driven through your hands in the situation I'm thinking of. What if he was saying, lay down that cross and let me drive a nail through your arms? How would you feel about that? Most of the giving that we have to do comes nowhere close to having nails driven through our hands and our feet, or having thorns clamped on top of our head and beaten down. Most of it never even, I'm going to say none of us have ever come close to that. But that's why relationships can exist. Because when you do something that I misunderstand, that wasn't like a nail through my arm. I can bless God. And we can still have a relationship. When we have a disagreement on practice, we can say, you know what? What's most important? And I give myself a little bit or a lot. And I can say that was nowhere close to having a whip coming down across my back. And we could go on with that expression or that illustration. But it's time for this to become a tuning fork, not just a magic wand. And when it becomes a tuning fork, brothers and sisters, I don't care if there's 100 people here or 10,000 people here. If this is a tuning fork in every life, there will be a beautiful harmony that surpasses even this male quartet by miles and miles and eternities. It will happen and God will be glorified. God bless you all.